Our scripture reading for this morning is a story of Simon of Cyrene. It is found in the various Gospels, but I am sharing with you the account in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23, and I am simply reading to you the 26th verse. Luke 23, verse 26. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. They laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Doesn't it always give you pause when you learn something about someone, and it's what they did that is so incredible? And you know, they didn't do it to draw attention to themselves, they didn't do it to get accolades, and even more than that, they don't care if anyone ever finds out about what they did. This is really rare, right? But so truly inspirational. Of course, there are millions of people that fit that category, but I would like to highlight somebody you may or may not know of this morning. His name isn't a household word, a household name. The name is Nicholas Winton. Nicholas Winton. And what is so amazing about his story is that what he did wasn't even uncovered for 50 years. Even though he was born in 1909 and he died in 2015. In fact, it was just by happenstance that anyone found out about his incredible work, and it was his wife who found a scrapbook in 1988 in the attic. This man, Nicholas Winton, he was responsible for the escape of 669 children who were mostly Jewish from Czechoslovakia on the eve of the beginning of World War II. It's an incredible, incredible story. And so his wife was in the attic one day, and she found this scrapbook, and it was a scrapbook of all these photos of children and all these documents, and she asked him about it, and that's when she learned about all that he did, and she then turned it over to a Holocaust historian. These children, they were destined for Nazi concentration camps. They were destined for extermination, as well as were their parents. And this is what he ended up doing. And I thought it was a challenge just to get up this morning and get myself moving, you know? Puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? Nicholas Winton, he was a London stockbroker, and back in the December of 1938, he got a call from a friend, and on an impulse, he just canceled his Swiss skiing trip. He was going to go on vacation, and he accepted the invitation of a friend to help aid refugees who were in the annexed part of Czechoslovakia. It was annexed by Germany by then. And what he did is he found all these refugees in appalling conditions. He wanted to figure out a way that he could do something. He would meet with these parents in this Prague hotel room. These parents were desperate for help for their children. He went back to London. He decided to put advertisements in churches and in synagogues and newspapers that there was a need for host families. There was a need for money. There was a need to take care of these children so that they would be saved. And he arranged for the transportation, right, which was a huge endeavor itself. The Gestapo had all eyes on him. And he got 669 children safely. They would just arrive at the train station in London with a name tag and one little bag. There's one part of the story I really don't want to tell you, but I must. There were about 250 children on the last train out of Czechoslovakia before Germany closed all of its borders. And they didn't make it. They weren't allowed to go. By that time, Hitler had invaded Poland. This man coordinated so many volunteers. He got his mother involved. He called themselves the British Committee for Refugees from Czechoslovakia Children's Section. He enlisted aid from the Refugee Children Movement. And he did everything he could. And for 50 years, Nicholas Winton just kept this to himself. Didn't want any notoriety. Wasn't planning to draw any attention to what he did until his wife found this scrapbook in his attic. It gives you pause. It truly, truly gives you pause. And to this day, do you know there are 6,000 descendants of the children that were rescued? And at one time, many of them got together for a reunion, and they are called Winton's Children. There are so many amazing, amazing accounts of people doing incredible things, and they just do it quietly. They don't do it with a lot of fanfare. They don't do it with the need for any kind of accolades at all. They just are going about their life, you know, just like we go about our lives, and then there's a phone call. And then maybe there's a simple request, or today it just might be an email, or it might be a nudge from somebody, and all of a sudden, that creates a whole spiral of events that changes the course of things, and then the rest is history. And because they made themselves available to that phone call, that request, that email, that nudge, they were able to fulfill something that was so important to do. Our great respect, right, is the gift that we can give back. Look at the simple story of Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene was in northern Africa. How did Simon of Cyrene get to Jerusalem? Why was he in Jerusalem at the time when all the hubbub was going on about Jesus, and in fact, Jesus was being led to be crucified? Maybe he was an immigrant. We don't know. Maybe he was there for the Passover festival. Simon just happened to be in the vicinity, and the Roman soldiers were there, and there was this probably horizontal crossbeam. We know that the posts were probably put up in the ground for the crucifixions that would take place. And so Jesus, here he is, he's in a weakened state. We remember from last week's discussion that Jesus was mocked and flogged, beaten, made fun of, ridiculed. He probably could hardly walk with that crown of thorns, you know, on his head. And it was clear that the only way that he would make it out of town to that place on the outskirts called the Place of the Skull was if he had assistance, if he had help. And so the Roman soldiers, they noticed Simon of Cyrene. Maybe he looked different, who knows, from the rest of the people around. And they conscript him to do the work, to carry that crossbeam. And we have this image of Jesus ahead and Simon of Cyrene carrying it behind, okay? He was right there. He was close in. He could meet the need. He was obviously dependable. He was able. He probably was strong. You know, does the fact that he was conscripted by the soldiers make any difference in the value of the work that he provided? No. Because he was just there. He was close in. And I think it's really presumptuous to assume that God can't work through even those who go against God's way, like the Roman soldiers. He was dutiful. He was the man. I wonder if you've ever seen this particular commercial. I don't think it's on a lot. I happen to just catch it. And the commercial, it pictures a father in a living room. He's sitting on the living room rug, it looks like, and he's playing with his baby daughter. And it's just a delightful scene. He seems enchanted with her. She is delighted to be with him. It's so homey and wonderful. And then eventually it's clear that this is a commercial for Nicoderm, the nicotine patch to help people stop smoking. Valuable product. And the idea, of course, is that the dad wants to live because he has a reason to live. His baby daughter is right there. He wants a long life. And then you have to really look carefully. There's this quick message at the end of the commercial, and this is what the message says. Every great why needs a great how. Every great why needs a great how. Every great reason to do something needs a great means of getting it done. And here in our passage, Simon, he actually is the great how to the great why. And we're invited, I think, in this passage and through all those experiences we have of people who actually do these wonderful and amazing things just at the drop of a hat. We're invited to imagine how we can be the great how for a particular great why. And I say particular great why because it all often has to do with, you know, our place in life, our situation, where we are in terms of relating to a specific need that just comes across our path. And it may not come across somebody else's path. We may just be the ticket, the next door neighbor to need, up close to it, personal to it, at the right place and at the right time, like Simon of Cyrene, in fact, right? And what we do may never be known to anyone, and it really doesn't matter, a hill of beans anyway, because that's far from the point. I think it was Dwight L. Moody, okay, who said this, character is what you are in the dark. Character is what you are in the dark. The point is our awareness, our availability to be the next door neighbor to immediate need, and that then means we can fit hand and glove into what we are able to do and do so in our own individual way with our own unique, wonderful gifts that we have. You know, we often talk about Mother Teresa. We think about Mother Teresa, for example, and the vast amount of healing healing work that she did, but think about what she once said and how it relates directly to what I'm trying to get across today. Mother Teresa once said, "I never look at the masses as my responsibility. I look at the individual. I can only love one person at a time, just one, one, one." So you begin. I began. I picked up one person. Maybe if I didn't pick up that one person, I wouldn't have picked up 42,000. You know, I can think of Nicholas Winton thinking the same thing. She says this, "The whole is only a drop in the ocean. But if I didn't put the drop in, the ocean would be one drop less." The same thing goes for you, the same thing in your family, the same thing in your church, your community. Just begin. One, one, one. Simon of Cyrene, he met the need that was right in front of his face, the need that was right there. Nicholas Winton, he met the need right in front of his face, the need that was right there. Mother Teresa met the need that was right in front of her face, the need that was right there. There's a poem that contains incredibly meaningful words. This poem has just been my daily walk this past week. It's a poem by David White, who has such talent when he writes. And I can't read the whole poem to you because that would take much too long, but I want to share with you just the very first lines, because I think just these lines fit so well with what I want to leave you with today. The name of the poem is Start Close In. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing close in, the step you don't want to take. Or maybe you do. May God bless the hearing and the doing of his word to us today. Let us pray. O God, help us be your servants, humble and meek. Help us take that step close in. We look at the big picture and we are overwhelmed. But you still call us to be a next door neighbor to the need. May we truly fulfill our calling through the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen.